Once again, I'm very thankful to be with you this morning. And I've had a subject that's been upon my heart for some time. And I want to get through it in a timely manner. But I believe it important to lead this direction. Talking about the inside of the cup, when Jesus was talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, and he was directing his comment toward them, you know, that they were like whited sepulchres, clean the outside of the cup, but you know, we need to make the inside of the cup clean. And he was directing that toward them, so that's bringing the scripture up to read it all. But that how we, you know, in our Christianity and the Word of God and His Spirit, to look toward the inner man, the inner person, and it's kind of directed toward influences. There are influences that can come into our lives that aren't so healthy. And in the beginning, we'll make an apology. I'm not directed at any one particular individual and things like that. But in general, influences that we must be careful about. We must look at the direction which we're headed with many situations and so on. And I'm going to begin. And there are physical things that we can do that can bring bad results to our lives. Okay, and that's what we know in general, don't we? We can do them repeatedly. And they can become a deeply rooted addiction, and that can become, once again, it can touch upon many things if we're not careful, and how we're wisely using of our time or being wise this can apply to many things, good and bad, as far as becoming a rooted addiction. Got to be careful that we got the regular of good things in our life, okay. But the bad ones we got to be careful about. I know there's pretty things to do for practice sake that bring good results or fruits. Most importantly, what about daily scripture reading? What about prayer daily? What about fasting? Calling brother or sister? How about going helping different people in general and so on? The practice of helping people, the practice of being kind. There are many things that can bring good results or fruits, and increasing our faith by increasing our service in the gospel. They're good things. And those are things we need to concentrate upon, you know. And as scripture says, overcoming evil with good. This sounds simple, yet knowing the difference and the influence is important. And what kind of influence is out there? You know, we see the scripture talks about the devil today is roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to pick off the children of the Lord. You know, and those are a prize to him, you might say. And there are many that are on cruise control, you might say, out there in the world because of this or that. That's pulling them along, you see. And kind of like going down a hill with inertia, in effect, if you might. Knowing the influence. 1 Corinthians 6 and 2. It says, all things are unto me, but all things are not expedient or necessary. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And it can be, once again, a general statement. And we've got to watch how we are in control and of what influences and what things are motivating and driving our life. You know, one thing you're exhibited this morning is faithfulness in coming and brought under the power of the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ and the influence of His Holy Spirit. Good things. And where is that going to go with that? Where is that situation? Where is that going to go? You know, just like other things that can come into your life for whatever reasons. Romans 21-25. Let's take a look there, if you will. Apostle Paul stated many times of his human ways and overcoming them. Romans 7. Paul recognizing man's human tendencies. He wanted to tell us about him. I'll go through the whole chapter. But it talks about things that you don't allow, those things that you might do because of choice, because of weakness, or whatever. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. Of course, we find there's temptation. And we're going to get into a little bit of that. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And so he's recognizing that. He's putting us on point with that possibility of man's tendencies, you know, for whatever reasons and weakness. Okay? But yet, he's not giving an excuse. Not giving an excuse because we may be human. Or people try to say, well, we sin every day. Well, we got to be careful about such a blanket statement. Because in the book 1 John, it says sin is of the devil. I don't believe that we're of the devil. So it's a very fine line. We've got to be careful when we say that. And that it somehow doesn't give a blanketed excuse. And Paul does not give us that excuse. In Galatians 2:17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. And we bring that sin is an enmity. It's a barrier, it's a separation, and a spiritual disconnection of the Lord and His Spirit. So we're not walking in the Spirit. Person can be walking in the flesh because of decisions. And you know, I made a statement in a recent sermon. You know, it is said by Ronald Reagan. You know, and I'm sure others as well. That we're only one generation away from freedom to slavery. And conversely, we are only one decision away from freedom in Jesus Christ into bondage to sin. And then that is also true. So, being on point, being careful, you know, about things. Proverbs, in the 6th chapter, verses 28 through 29. Find Solomon's wisdom. And he's got 27-28. To his son. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You know, you've seen these firewalkers and generally in Hawaii and so on, and you know, I've seen them do it on pictures or whatever. It doesn't give me any desire to do that or whatever, you know. I may say I have faith in this and that, but I believe it'd be also tempting the Lord. I'm also not going to take up deadly things to drink them or to handle them either. You know, if, you know, here goes Brother Harris. Said in one of his sermons a long time ago, you could stand out in the train tracks and you could say, Lord, you're going to stop that train for me. You could just meet your time. Don't tempt the Lord. Can't tempt the Lord. And so we got to be careful once again. Can we take fire? Can we close it? People do that. People take and do fire juggling and things, and they're professional, trying to get good at it. And there are certain things that people can do in their life that are harmful. They've learned how to be proficient in walking along with them. It's gonna burn. It's gonna get them eventually. But they seem to try to be proficient with handling it for whatever reasons. because however, the, you know, the addiction, let's just say. Once again, or what about this guy? You know? I didn't put the other picture on that I did find it. Some of our animal lovers wouldn't have liked it. There are many things and situations that, if embraced, can hurt us physically and spiritually. Okay? And people can get absorbed on the front end. You know, and it definitely can hurt us spiritually, eventually, physically. And so we're going to learn why those things are very important. There's a difference between virtue and vice, you know. Things of virtue going on to impeccable good character and strength and faith, endurance, and wisdom. There are many, many such virtues. And the vices, things that are self-indulgent, maybe to the body or to the mind or whatever, and looking to the end of that, it certainly leads to sin. And we've got to be careful as Christians that we're supposed to be a new creature created in Christ Jesus. And we are to have left the things of the world behind. And we've got to be wiser about them. That we're not trying to drag them back into our life for self-indulgence. And then they can become a ruler, you know. The old adage, if you give Satan an inch, he becomes a ruler. And or you open the door a little bit and he'll open up wide open. Sometimes we don't know we're full well into it until we're all the way into the mud puddle. Trying to look down the road to where the situation is taking us is key. Trying to discern. Spiritually, I use the word spiritually understand. The discern. Trying to understand the results. And we're going to learn how it's possible, especially through the Word of God, to discern right from wrong. You know, be careful. Mists of darkness. When Lehi was talking about going through mists of darkness and holding on the rod of iron and to partake of the tree of life, in mists of darkness, you can still see. You can still see. Sue and I were walking out in the pasture the other night and looking in the back, and there's a fog, and you could see. And there were some eerie lights down on the river in the back, and they were back there frog gigging, we think. And they had these lights, and it was just kind of really an eerie look. You could still see. It was still in the dark, you know, and so on. We were in darkness, and there were mists, but you could still see. And people, you know, still think they can see, even though it's cloudy. And it can happen that way in life, trying to, if they can see it through the things that are, you know, being our problem or that they've brought into their lives. And especially the Word of God will be our ultimate source. Book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, 12 verse. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, helping us to understand where the definition, you know, lies. And joints and marrow, and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I was thinking I was going to bring my Confederate buoy in here and show it to you for this little representation. I didn't. So I've got my little pocket knife. That's as good as it's going to get. And it's only a one-edged, not two-edged sword. And this one's dull. It needs a sharpening. But God's Word is sharp. And it is what is effective, helping us to understand who we really are in His sight. That's what's important. If we're not taking hold of the Word of God, if we're not looking at it, we're not studying it and so on, say, well, I don't like to read, I don't have the time, or whatever, we better think about that statement. I don't have time to look at the Word of God. I don't have time to read, or whatever. We better take a look at that statement. It is that treasure that we should know. 1 Corinthians 3:16-18. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, this worldly wisdom, it has to do with pride or covetousness or self-serving things, let him become a fool that he may be wise. All right, or humble before the Lord is where the true wisdom. And that's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Man's fear is not good. It is not good. Now, be very careful about that word, defiling the temple of God. You know? There was an example that Jesus told us about where the person was cleansed of an evil spirit. He says, the evil spirit, when it's cast out of a man and go through dry places and finding no rest. And finally, the spirit says, I will go back into the man where the house that I came from. And then he took up with him several other spirits and entered into the man. And the last state was worse than the first. What's the difference? Well, he found the house swept and garnished. Meant the person didn't do anything with their spiritual life to strengthen and to fortify and to build and to nourish and the Word of God and all things good. And so he's susceptible to something more worse. That's why we're building today. We're fortifying today. I'm not saying that you've had your spirit cast out, but you have had the natural man. You've put him away and to become a saint. And there's nothing wrong with being called a saint. The Word of God says that you can be called a saint. Look in your Book of Mormon on page 218. If you're submissive to the will of the Father in all things. Humble. Willing for His direction, basically. In Galatians 6, 7th and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that so he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what? It's going to take some effort. You can be out in the field, and maybe it's a little bit of hard work. There can be some a sun that's out there beating on you. Maybe you're sweating, and it's taken some effort to sow what's right. The energy to do it, and when you take the energy to do it, now guess what? You may get some calluses on your hand, but you're going to get some blisters. But then they become calluses, which is going to make it stronger. With being able to endure the work, or learning how to do something you didn't do before, possibly maybe making you a little wiser, a little stronger the next time. You won't get so tired. You'll be stronger at it, and God will not be mocked, and we won't hide from Him. We won't hide what we're doing from Him. And you can't plant one thing and harvest another. I do joke with Brother Randy now and then that he plants corn, but he harvests deer out there in his field. Well, that's a little bit different. But you can't fool God. That's one fact. You cannot fool God. And there will be something to come up, but you won't like what will come up, and it certainly won't be a virtue if it's a bad thing. If you're planting good things. If you're planting unto eternal life, no, God's going to be helping you in the field, and you'll reap eternal life. He promised that. Here we find a very strong example. Drinking drugs out there, you know. There's a lot of things. I'm not picking on anyone or anything like that, and so on. But they're very common. And a powerful source of disconnection or being taken away from a certain form of reality for pleasure's sake. They cause great damage. And many people have many testimonies of overcoming these things. But it's, once again, it's a power. And looking where it's going to go is important. Recognizing where a person is at in these things is an important thing. to be able to walk and walk away from it. And the sooner one can realize an attachment to any of these and seek out counseling from ministry, also brother or sister, the better. Now, what am I saying here? We know that there's professional help for things. We're talking about spiritual help and with the Word of God. God's deliverance. You've got God on your side. If you're going after spiritual help and spiritual counseling, you have God on your side. His Word, His Spirit, His power, His love. He's on your side. We do it alone, we're on our own, aren't we? Proverbs 23. Let's look over in Proverbs 23, 29. If anybody ever asks you, does the Bible talk about these things? Does it talk about addictions? Does it talk about someone that's involved, say, with alcohol or whatever? Yeah, it does. And it describes it. Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine, those things that are strong. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself upright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Let me be guilty of adding one word there. Strange women or strange men. This doesn't belong just to men. There's a lot of problems in women's lives too out there. Thou shalt utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say. And here we're talking about a people call a hangover. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And when I shall awake, I will seek it again. Means an addiction. They're going to go after it again. They get whooped and everything else, but guess what? They're going to do it again. In 31 and 4. Please turn with me to 31 and 4. Good counsel for a son of a king. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for the princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. People say it's good that they drink wine for their health and this and that. You know, the properties, and you know, just as a physical thing, they call grapeseed extract. They make the essence of what's in the wine. It's not the alcohol that's good for you. Remember, the alcohol is what causes bad things, but the essence of what's in the wine is what's good for you. So they could actually forget the law, pervert the judgment. But any of the afflicted, you know, that a person loses control of their senses. And he says it's not a good thing. It's not good for kings. It's not good for Christians. Please turn with me over in page 121, 2 Nephi 881. Eighty-one. Woe unto them that rise up in the early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that continue until night, and wine inflame them. And where I've read of these, that far as alcohol is concerned, things like that, they may start with wine, and then follow on to stronger things. So it's quicker and stronger, and this and that, and it becomes worse. And like the scripture says, at last, it biteth like an adder. And with people that not particularly don't really know their scriptures out there. Now, one thing I have found, and you have too, they don't remember any other verse in the Bible. When we talk about drinking, they say, well, it's only to excess. How do you know that one? Where did you hear that about? What is excess? What definition is that? Moved of the Holy Spirit. Why do they call strong drink spirits? Unleashes a whole bunch of them that we don't even want to think. Moved of the spirits. What about our witness and example that we lose? That is the truth. We must be careful of these things. Our witness and our example that we lose. How about the damage to the body and the soul? As I was looking up and studying the situation with that particular influence, there's a whole list of things, a whole can of worms that you don't even want to get into, and effects of what can cause damage, body, but soul. There seems to be common things to man and woman because of natural attraction and tendencies that Satan will keep using to be a lure, repackaged to be a temptation. Turn with me over in 3 Nephi 5. 3 Nephi 5, 113, 114. 13. The light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body should be full of light. And what more to be full of light or single or to be looking at our Lord Jesus Christ, His gospel, His word, His will, and His way. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And so, you know, if the things that we can look at and so on, there's a whole industry out there on adult material today, or pornography. Okay, it's rampant. It's rampant through our society today. It's a plague that has gone across multi-billion-dollar industry, and I'm not going to get too graphic. I know a lot of young ears, and I don't. That part's not right. But that's anyway adult material. And it's on the internet, TVs, billboards. How many you go by an exit and this adult store is off at the next exit, you know, and this and that. Several of them. I'm not going to list any of them, whatever, but you've seen them. And this and that. But adult material. And as far as I'm going to go with it, as far as that explanation there, this form of addiction that is a destructive to one's life and soul, bringing shame, dishonor, and lose our trust with others. If others were to know we're involved in such things, if you will, man or woman, that we can lose trust with others. And once you lose that, it is very, very difficult to get reputation and trust. And it causes the person to be lost in fantasy and make-believe, a certain departure from the Holy Spirit to another unholy spirit being led away. Turn with me over to James 1, 12 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is led, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When it is seen, when it's done its work, being in it, that a person is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And this, that can do with many influences, not just the one that we're bringing up here, over physical, adverse physical attractions. And you adults, you know what I'm using general terms here for very concise reasons for our young ones. Okay? But it brings forth sin, and it's what it leads to. It's where it's going to. It will progress. It will progress into things. Down to where we see in the news, there are many crimes that are committed because of where these things have taken people, and then it destroys their life. And that's the goal of the evil one, putting these things out there to be a lure. And once again, being repackaged for different generations, and for different species, if you will. This form of entertainment causes a great disrespect to themselves and disregard of others. Our brothers and sisters in Christian holiness, we have to be careful as Christians. There are those that may have gotten involved in these things of a lustful nature, and a disregard and disrespect. It can influence our marriages, as we've seen in different experiences, different people, our conversations. It can get into our comments. You know, we're treating one another here as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I have my brothers in Christ. I have my sisters in Christ. And, you know, I say, you know, that I'd be just as willing to give a brother a brotherly hug as I would a sister. They are my brothers and sisters. These are my family, you know, and that is a precious thing. And we need to hold that in very high regard. And we need to put things in place in order to keep our thoughts, you know, pure. You know, once again, overcome evil with good. Keep the good things before us. And our prayer, our study, our fasting, our doing good things amongst our brothers and sisters. And if there are tendencies, the light of the body to the eye, and if our eye is a problem, first of all, the Lord says, take it out. Well, that's pretty drastic, you know. But he said, it's better that than suffering the sin, the consequences, if you will. If something is a problem to look at, he says, avoid it, pass not by it. Or don't look at it. What I'm saying is, you know, something to be a tendency, glance away. Glance away and go another direction. There was an example of a fellow. This was a kind of an allegory. And he says that he was walking down a street and he would fall down in this hole. And he saw the hole coming, but he fell in the hole. Next day he goes down that same street. And he was looking for the hole, but now no matter what, he fell into the hole. Next day, he went down the street. He's looking with a little more energy, but he still falls in that hole. And so the next day, you know what he did? He walked down a different street. Sometimes that's what we got to do. 1 Corinthians 18, please turn with me there. First Corinthians 6 and 18. It tells us, flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So, in a general term, he says, flee fornication. 3 Nephi 5:77. 3 Nephi 5 and 77, so page 637. Jesus tells us. Now there was a definition between in the old law about, you know, divorce and this and that, and certain allowances given for that. But in the gospel of Christ, he turns up the heat on the old law. Basically, what I'm saying is, it's the government, self-government. We're looking after ourselves. If you were known to sin, you could have been, in many instances, stoned. you could have been stoned. And but the gospel of Christ, the self-government of man, the internal law, if you will, the law of liberty. But Jesus said that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. That's pretty serious. So we must be careful of these things. Remember, the light of the body is the eye. And so, once again, that is the form of what takes place. And well, I should have flipped that too. I didn't have them quite coupled together. We could have read it up on the screen. Romans 1, 24 and 25. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness of the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. A very carnal thing, if you will. And we're supposed to be going away from the carnal and being in the spiritual, walking in the Spirit, so we don't fulfill lusts of the flesh, if you will. And so, enough of that. We know about those things, but we need to be careful of them. Because, once again, it reduces respect for one another, and we got to treat our one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ with the utmost respect. But gambling, just once again, the list of things that people can get addicted to, but this has become more popular. We see it right down the street. And a lot of reasons it has caused a lot of damage. And we've even felt it in this church. There have been several experiences, but we won't go into it. In this little church. And but the church does denounce it in our articles of faith. For someone to win, gambling in general, for someone to lose. That's the premise of gambling. You're just getting my shortened gambling sermon. I'd given one quite lengthy a long time ago, and that thing was just getting built. For someone to win, someone must lose. Is that true, or is that false? It's true. Absolutely. How do you think they make money off it? They make it off of people's and there was experiences about those that had, and I don't want to get into them now, but they lost it all. They lost it all. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Please turn there with me. Matthew 22. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Thy neighbor has just lost the farm down there. How has this helped our neighbor? For someone to win, someone must lose. And this is again against the most basic commandment, the second great law in the commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We certainly haven't served our neighbor. And if many of the neighbors would boycott such an operation, it wouldn't be a business, would it? Are they going to be in business down there to serve food or coffee or whatever without the rest of it all? No. I've been asked several times. They got a Tim Hortons down there. Adam, you going to go in for Tim Hortons? You like that? I says, no. I'll make my coffee at home before I do that. I won't darken the door. If a brother and sister needs help and I need to go in to do that, to go get them, that's different. Not to go in there and partake, not to go in and partake of other men's sins, because I believe that's what it is. But regardless, when we pour bread upon the water, so to speak, hoping for gain, we're telling God it isn't enough. Thumbing our nose at His blessing. Is that what we're doing? Why else would a person be going there? Oh, they call it gaming. They call it entertainment. Is that so? But we're telling God it isn't enough. Up on the sign it says you can win a new car. That's real possible, isn't it? But we're telling God that what He's given us and all of our blessing, if He causes a famine and he causes a dearth, or you know, a time of no rain, what would happen? The crops would dry up. Your sustenance would be gone, wouldn't it? That's what Elijah prophesied before Ahab. There'd be, and that's how he sat by the brook, because the Lord was feeding him and everything else, and went to the widow lady and blessed her with helping him through that. What happened in the last economy in 2007, 8, and so on? And many still feeling that was an economic downturn, or time of famine, if you will, economic collapse. What happened? There were many, many people out of work. There are many people that were blessed in this church, I know. And there's got many testimonies, but God took care of you. There are many people that had houses, and they said they had left keys on the counter and walked away. There were tent cities, and they did not take a report, a lot of them. We still have some downtown Grand Rapids, off by the train tracks. You saw them on your evening news. They're out there interviewing the people. Out in California, there were tent cities, many places. A third of Detroit left, and they're turning houses back into farmland. Oh yeah, we had famine. We had a time of dearth. That's what can happen. But we're telling God it isn't enough if we go in there with the hope of winning these things. Are we being good stewards with His blessings? And once again, you've heard my analogy there. You can never pull out enough money out of your wallet or your pocket to ever buy a blessing. You can't do it. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy 3:4. We find that there will be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So we have those that are willing to go in and squander the blessings of God, saying, well, it's a form of entertainment. Then they're a lover of pleasure more than the blessing that God has given them, not being thankful for those. They like to make you feel like this. Everybody's happy. It's a glamorous thing. There is the lure. Satan's got some real nice ones in his fishing box. I had a couple. I lost them in Dennis's stream out there behind his house. Remember that? I had a pretty good looking red devil. But anyway. But Satan's got some real good ones. And he make people think that it's all fun and glamour and everything like that. But you know, then when he pulls the rug out from under people, and we don't want to list all of them. The beginning of woes. And we find many, many broken homes. We found many, many broken marriages. And, you know, it's once again, it's another form of addiction that we got to watch out for. Romans 6, 12 and 23. 12 through 23. Let's turn with me there for a moment. We've got to get moving here. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid, as we read earlier. Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of the servants of sin, comma in there, but ye have obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. He tells us where the real bondage lies, doesn't he? In sin. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit? There's that fruit we were talking about. Had you then in those things, wherein you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The fruit through the Lord, love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father doesn't make us ashamed. Doesn't make us ashamed. Being the servants of the Lord willingly, serving willingly. But being now made free from sin, servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yielding ourselves, servants, to obey. Whose servant are we? Who is our master? Who is our shepherd? When we follow we allow ourselves to partake of a destructive addiction, we are constantly punishing ourselves. Find that many people are happy in doing it. You know? It's just like the hazing, you know? Yes, sir, can I have another one? And they whack it, you know? I've hit my hand with a hammer, and I'll tell you what, I didn't enjoy it. And I vowed never to do it again. And I just vowed to become a better shot. You know? Do that, you just kind of swallow it and grimace a little bit and tell yourself that you're stupid and you hit the hammer or nail gun or buy a nail gun, don't use the hammer. Or time to pet the shark. Guess what? There's teeth right there too, huh? There's a whole adage, you know, don't go grabbing a tiger by the tail. Guess what? There's teeth in the other end. Alma 3:32-34. Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I can say unto you, can you imagine yourself that you hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you, in that day, come unto me ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth? Or do you imagine yourselves that you can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous, so it works upon the face of the earth, and that He will save you? No matter how you got there, no matter how you accomplished the situation, the addiction, the whatever the matter, no matter what, can have that result. Can we lie to the Lord? We allowed ourselves to get there by choice. James said that we've allowed ourselves, you know, we're tempted of our own lust, drawn away. In Proverbs 21:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Man is pretty good at trying to okay himself. I can handle this and I can handle that. I can take this on, I can take that on. You know, we've all had those experiences where we've done some silly things, just on a lighter side. Trying to justify, you know, making a silly mistake. The Lord knows what's in your heart. We got to be careful. We're not trying to juggle the fire or the chainsaw. In James 1:23-24, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We may be acquainted with, you know, I know where I'm at. I know what I've done. I know, Lord, this is wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing that. I know where it's leading me. I see the end of the affair. But boy, I'm going to get back up in the morning. I'm going to do it again. What did it tell us in Proverbs? That tendency. We've got to fortify with what is good and what we know to be true. Making money can be an addiction. Take a look out there. Many people, they're building empires and this and that. And they, you know, they don't need it anymore, but it's an addiction. It's a hobby. It's a become a way of life to them, to make more money, more substance. And looking to where they can put it, in offshore accounts or this, that, and the other. Building bigger barns, Jesus said. What happens? Jesus said, tonight, thy soul is required of thee. And then whose thing shall they be? You know? Lying and double dealing can become one's nature. Turn with me to Alma 1978. Turn back here a little bit. Therefore, my son, see that you are merciful unto your brethren. Deal justly, judge righteously, and to do good continually. If you do all these things, then shall you receive your reward. Once again, there is our witness. Where is our respect for others? Do it what is right. Double dealing or trying to get the best out of someone else, no matter what we've lost our example. We've lost our witness. But it can become people's nature to try to get... Everyone has a tendency to want to get a good deal. But we've got to do it rightly. We've got to do it justly. And once again, you can't buy back that example. You can't do that. You know? I had an article. I'm not trying to brag of anyone. I had an article that I was selling to someone. They called. They wanted a better deal. And I wanted to sell it. Okay, fine. And I took lesser amount of money for it. I'm waiting a good week or so until they come pick it up. In that interim time, I could have sold it a couple times for at least $100 more. And I said, nope, I can't do that. You know, I already gave my word that this person would get it for that amount of money. And so, you know, that's just the way it is. We got to do what is right, deal justly. And so on. And it was a real blessing to meet the people that I sold it to. It was a real blessing. You know, I got a real witness and example and a joy from them. Evil speaking and cursing. You know, that can become a second nature to people if they're not careful. The things that come out of their mouth, you know. And it has to do with speaking words of kindness. Saying the praise words to people. In Luke 6:45, turn with me there, please. Luke 6:45. A lot of things start with the power of speech. Wars start over the power of speech. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. 1 Corinthians 15:33. There are many such examples. We've just got a couple. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Isn't that the truth? And also, it corrupts a good witness. Evil communications, they corrupt your respect and so on. And I was very pleased to hear, you know, later on, after we had a customer one time that was, they were kind of vile. You know, the people we were working with, we were down on this long-term service project, and the project engineer from the other company was over, a friend of mine, and he were there, and the guy was kind of bad-talking and this and that, and also trying to get me stirred up. And person could have said this, and they could have said that and the other, kind of come back at him. And no, didn't do that, just kept my witness, and then I went away. I went to another part of the plant. Figure it was better wisdom anyway. And this guy told a friend of mine, he says, you know, you just can't rile that guy, can you? And my friend says, no, better men than you have tried. You know, hey, everybody has their fuse. But we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. The evil one knows where it's at. He knows where your fuse is at, and he knows how he can cut it off and then light it. We've got to be careful and safeguard that. Put things in place. That's what we've got to kind of plan ahead. James 1, 26, 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And undefiled before God the Father, he is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so we have to be careful of those things. You know, if we can't learn our tongue, we're not apt to blame the rest of our body. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in our heart? Can one face for one situation, another face for another situation? Do we wear the world's camouflage? Personality, I could be good this way or good or not good that way. He said over in James 3, it says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Once again, talking of addiction, we can be addicted to good talking, which is a good thing and it's going to bring good fruit, you know. Praiseworthy things. You feel good when you say good things to other people. Makes them feel good. Makes you feel good. You don't walk away ashamed. I should have said this, or I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said that. You know. Now, I'm not talking about that maybe you didn't quite give the eloquent sermon to somebody, because generally the best sermon or the best advice are things that you think about later on because of your human tendencies. Oh, I could have said this or I said that. I missed the boat. Didn't have my with me. No, I'm talking about things that were either good speaking, good witness. 1 Timothy 6:20. 1 Timothy 6:20. Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Now, we've got to be careful. And we've got to be careful it doesn't get into our jesting or joking, too, as well. That it doesn't take us out of character to say things we shouldn't. Disrespectful of other people, or putting people down. Or this Bible may talk about even the froward mouth, okay, which is unruly and disobedient and so on. And get carried away. Once again, saying things are off color, even to persons of the opposite gender, or even with our own. But, you know, not speaking, edifying in love and in the character of who God called you to be. Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not being conformed. If we're doing other things with our time that take away from what we should be doing for Christ, we need to take a serious look at it, you see. If there are things that are drawing us away from even participating with our brothers and sisters, participating in prayer. I don't have the time for prayer. I don't know what to say, or I don't have the time for study, or for whatever. We need to take a serious look at it. God has granted you your time and breath of life. And do you want Him to grant you the time and the breath of life eternal? You have to look at whom we may be serving with our time and our substance, if we will. Is it leading us to the tree of life and His precious fruit, or a mist of darkness, where we can barely see and we're dragging, and you know, or we're getting pulled out of the boat, or we're getting pulled along? The list of distractions can be endless, can't they? And so keeping our focus and our eye upon Christ is important. God's word and spirit heals versus man's ways. That if we are involved in things that definitely need rooting out of our life, we've got to be careful. Once again, I was talking about going to ministry, going to brothers and sisters, going to God's word, going to God himself, most especially. You've got God behind you. And if we go to the world for the world's healing, if you will, then you're getting the world's too. And it may be able to help you somewhat temporarily, but you need spiritual direction for true healing inside, because a lot of things can bring sin. And remember, people out in the world can't forgive sin, but God can. And God can help take care of these things. And He especially can be, He's there in your corner. Colossians 3:20. I'll do this on my last frame here. Colossians 3:20. That doesn't look like the right one. Just a minute. My fat finger number. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These things are virtues. These things they can help us to be strengthened by the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he said that when he was weak, then he was strong. In other words, being humbled before the Lord, submissive to the Lord, leading in direction in our life. We need His direction to lead us. In our 2 Nephi 12:24. We got to be careful about procrastination and also of being complacent with in our situation that's this bad for us, or not leading us in a direction that is strengthening us for the journey. We find, for behold, at the day he shall rage, this is Satan, of in the hearts of the children of men to stir them up to anger against that which is good. Others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they all will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully and down to hell. And others he flattereth, and he telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasped them with his awful change, from whence there is no deliverance. He flatters them away and tell them there is no hell. You know, won't them call good evil and evil good, as the scripture says. We've got to be careful of not being lulled away into a carnal security and into a sense of complacency or a temporal safety, a physical safety, if you will. And that can happen. Many people feel very, very comforted until disaster strikes, and then the rug is pulled out from underneath them. Are we being pulled along or pulled away? You know, once again, if something that we're involved in, it can absorb. It can not only absorb time, money, energy, in order to even to hide something or to be able to handle it, to either juggle the fire or the chainsaws or whatever. Are we being pulled along or pulled away? And I'm envisioning someone that's on a fishing boat and they got this monstrous fish down there and the they can't get away from it. It's either get pulled off the boat or get pulled along wherever the fish is going. And are we being pulled along or being pulled away? In 2 Nephi 4:14, if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth to man to pray. Now this, know it, this is prayer. This is prayer. But this can have to do with a lot of things in life. If we would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth man to pray, ye would know that you must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but he teacheth him that he must not pray. Now, and the evil spirit wants to teach you You shouldn't pray. You shouldn't study. You shouldn't take the time to do what is to good, or to help someone else, or to call someone to a brother or sister, attend the house of the Lord, to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. The evil spirit wants to take you away from Christ. And this is talking about prayer. Hebrews 12 and 15 is a very critical verse even as well. We must be careful that does not occur. Keeping good things in our life. But we must look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There are people that can carry grudges, unforgiveness, troubles, and bitterness. For whatever reasons, like I said, unforgiveness is very common. Trouble you and cause people to do a lot of things. Maybe not to come back to church. Maybe not it can involve a lot of other things in life. People think they could be just a good person, off by themselves, do their own thing. It will have its effects, not being in the house of the Lord and in the body of Christ. But a root of bitterness. Psalms 1:3. Actually, I'm going to do 2 and 3. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But being by a tree planted by the rivers of water, where we get continual nourishment and quench of our spiritual thirst. We must be careful of our associations, our situations that we may get ourselves into, and influences that we may be around that can cause a trigger in order to have a tendency of a bad habit, or once again, addiction. In the Proverbs chapter 4, there are people that may be seemingly be nice out there that we must be careful about. We even warn our kids about it. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and no, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused someone to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So telling us to avoid that particular path, that particular direction, maybe particular people that might drag us in the wrong direction, associations. We're told in the Scriptures to come ye out from the wicked, be ye therefore separate. If Jesus was there amongst the publicans and sinners, it wasn't to party with them. He was there to try to encourage them and to lead them and to teach them what the way of eternal life was about. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We have been pledged to Christ. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Once again, there are many things that can be an issue. You know, we did not even go to gossiping. And when you mention that word, start doing that you get a lot of looks like, are you talking about me? Different people will talk about gossiping. Or what about video gaming? A lot of people of that situation taking time. Or even shopping. We didn't even get after the shoppers in the congregation, did we? Or those that are involved in maybe too many Legos. Or how much too much play. You know, we got to be careful of that. Even to our adults that like too many plays with our man toys or whatever. You know, long as they don't come before the Lord, they don't take us away from what we should be doing in the name of Christ is an important thing. And so I thank you for your love, for your time, and for your prayers.